Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Rodeo fans. You're listening to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Put your hands together for this next cowboy. He has written his last seven moves, and tonight he's going to try and make it eight.
Here comes the boom sound.
Well, good afternoon, rodeo fans. That's right. We got ourselves a late start, but only by a couple minutes. So we are here, ready to rock and roll on another Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. That's right. I'm Scott. We're making eight. Your official voice of BuckersNow.com and Rank Bull Apparel. And we're getting ready to get things fired up here. We got some things that I want to talk about here today, some things that kind of hit the wire last night. Not going to try to really beat up on a dead horse here, but we do want to discuss some of the issues that I've seen, some of the posts that have been coming out. But we're going to talk about those here in just a little bit. Want to let y'all know that if y'all want to chime in here, jump on board, 646-915-9940. Hopefully you guys will not have the same problem getting in that I just did. But if you are looking to tune in online, please feel free to do just that. Got to tell you, well, you know what? Shoot, we're wasting no time here jumping right on board. We got our first caller on the line, 325. You're on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show.
What are you doing, Scott Messick?
Hey, Mr. Rob Smith, what do you say, amigo?
Oh, driving down the freeway, amigo.
Driving down the freeway, huh? I'll tell you what, I wasn't even sure we were going to make it to our own show, man. We had to... some technical difficulties there this morning and couldn't quite get on, man, but glad that we were able to do it. And so what do you got going on? What's going on in the Rob Smith world today?
Oh, I just on my way back home, I went to Midland, Odessa this morning and dropped a couple bulls off to a guy that he's going to take and go breed some cows with. And I'm headed back home, probably going to go rope some steers with Riley Lambert, Cody Lambert's boy, this afternoon.
Oh, 10-4, man. Sounds like a good time right there. Sounds like a real good time. Well, I gotta say something to you there, Rob. I appreciate you sending out some prayer requests. Obviously, we kind of had a rough weekend this weekend. It was really bittersweet because we had the Southern States Finals going on, and we got to see a bunch of our good friends that we haven't seen in a while. And you know, but unfortunately, there was a tragedy right down here in Tampa, Florida, with a young 16-year-old girl that was actually killed riding bulls on Friday night. And I want to kind of get your opinion on it because it's something that really kind of stood out, and this has actually made national news now. Inside Edition posted a story about it yesterday. And, you know, one of the things that they're really bringing up is, you know, in the sport, what is really too young for somebody to be getting started? And I was kind of put off by that statement that was made about being too young. I mean, I don't think there's an age where you can say that that's actually too young when you've got some of the abilities, you know, like mutton busting and then you got the calf riding and steer riding and kind of working your way up. But just kind of wanted to get your point of view on that, man.
Well, there's not too young, but what the problem is now is, and Cody Custer put a piece up on this the other day on his Facebook site that I'll agree with. We're breeding animals that are a lot hotter blooded and more that are bred to buck. It's a lot
right.
Different than in the era that I came up in, where a lot of your junior rodeos and that those bulls were a lot of range bulls. You didn't have a lot of those high-powered bulls that are out there right now. And
right.
It's almost for our youth, we almost have too much bull power.
Yep. I absolutely agree with that. I think that there's a certain set. And I'll tell you, the first bull that I got on, I was 20 years old. You know, But for me, I got on a bull that didn't – I mean, he didn't – his back end didn't kick up more than 3 or 4 inches, you know. I mean, really, he was – you were lucky if he kicked up a foot over the ground, you know. But he hop-skipped out there, and it gave you that feeling of what it's like to ride that forward momentum. And that's something that I know that Cody and I have had a lot of conversations on and really believe in, that, you know, at a young age for these young athletes, whether it be a male or a female, getting involved in the sport and riding. You know, obviously mutton busting, you can only ride up to a certain amount. But when you get into the calves, you get into the steers, and then you get into these junior bulls, they really need something that is just that they can just ride that forward momentum on, and, you know, nothing that's going to buck too hard.
Well, and I also feel strongly about that if a person's going to come into this sport, it's very important that those kids go to a good quality school.
Very,
you've got to,
absolutely.
It's so, the fundamentals of our sport are so important. That idea of just getting somebody's rope and getting on and having somebody pull your rope tight and get up there and that you don't know the fundamentals of how you're supposed to go about it, you're just, you know, you're asking for it. You're flirting with nothing but disaster.
I absolutely agree with you, Rob, and I appreciate your standpoint on that. If I could have gotten a hold of Cody Custer, you know, that I definitely wanted to try to get his point of view on that, and I really think that you summed it up real well right there for us. And, you know, I mean, I know that you've had some lengthy conversations with Cody about the same thing, and that's one of the things that Cody does now is work with the youth really instill those fundamentals out there. And I do agree with you wholeheartedly, man. I think that these young youth, you know, and it doesn't matter what age that you're starting out, I think that by going to a good quality school that you learn those fundamentals that are going to carry with you and help you develop into that bull rider. And it doesn't matter what you're getting on the start with, you can work into those higher class bulls as you grow.
Well, and that's the whole deal is working into those higher class bulls. From what I don't know much other than you sent me a message asking me to put a prayer request up on my Facebook site. So I don't know all of what happened in Tampa, Florida. It was a jackpot, right?
It was. This was a jackpot that I've actually been to a number of times. We actually have broadcasted there several times. And this was actually one of the first places that I won any kind of money at bull riding when I was riding the circuits. This is a jackpot that's been around for a long period of time, but they have an exhibition. And with the exhibition, they have some younger bulls, so maybe some worn-out bulls, some bulls that just don't buck like they used to that are worth the quality of putting them in this show. So what they do is they use those for exhibition. They have a junior class, and then they have their senior class, you know. And this girl had been on this bull a number of times. I mean, I don't think there was anything that anybody could have done differently, but it just – I think it raised some eyebrows, being a young 16-year-old beautiful little girl that really had a deep passion for the sport of bull riding, was what it came down to. But she took a kick as she was coming off, and, you know, that the bull kind of kicked up and kicked right up underneath the ribs. Even though she was wearing that protective vest, I think it still penetrated enough to break those ribs and cause her some internal injuries that were causing her to bleed.
Well, the one thing about the vest doesn't make you Superman. You know, the vest does absorb a lot of the hit, but yes, ribs can still be broken. I mean, you're still talking about, and I'm guessing you're talking a 16-year-old girl that may have weighed 140 pounds. I'm speculating completely because I don't know the situation, but against an animal weighs, let's just say, 1,000 pounds. That's still 10 times her weight, 9 times her weight.
Right.
You know, you take a shot from something that much bigger than you, something's going to give, and it's not going to be the animal.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. And you know.
Now you're going to touch on the other part. Now you haven't touched on it, but I'm going to touch on it. Girls don't need riding bulls.
Okay. Absolutely.
That's male chauvinist. That's whatever you want to say. I just, the poundings and the beatings that a bull rider take, and I guess maybe I'm just old school. Girls aren't made to take them beatings. They're not, you know, And I'm
You're
not
absolutely
trying to take,
right.
I'm not taking the toughness away from a woman. There's no doubt. I know women that are darn sure tough. But just the beatings, even if you made a successful ride, there's lots of times guys still hit the ground hard. You know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. And I'm not trying to be mean, but, you know, it's just like girls wanting to be a bullfighter. Why? Why? You don't
yeah.
have, you know. We'll light your phone lines up with that comment, but that's okay too.
I'm sure, and it's actually gotten real quiet in the chat room, and I think everybody's just trying to absorb it. But you know, in a lot of ways, I agree with you, Rob. I think that but I don't think that you can keep that passion. Just like any male that is out there that wants to get on these bulls, any young kid that wants to get out there, a young boy that wants to get out there and ride these bulls, I think that you're seeing that same passion in the girls. You know, it's like girls wanting to compete with the boys and be better, play football and do some of those sports. Should they? I don't necessarily think that they should. I think that there's other things that they could do to prove themselves. You know, but when you get that passion, you get that spark in your eye, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, Rob. It's hard to turn that away. And I've actually met this girl, and I've met her parents, you know, and I even asked her myself, I said, what is a pretty girl like yourself out here doing riding bulls? And she said, I just love to ride bulls. She said, I love the rush. And you know, not that I'm aware of. I know that she had been here to this jackpot bull ride and riding in the exhibition. She'd been working with some of the Florida bull riders down here for about a year. So, I mean, she was no stranger to it.
Right.
She wasn't as progressed as what I think that somebody else that really wanted to make a career out of it would have done. But she was very passionate, and she did progress in her training. I mean, from the time I seen her in October and November to the time that I had seen her earlier this year.
Right.
So,
I just,
you know,
it's such a tough sport, like I said, and it's so important. Any parents that are out there listening, don't just go to putting those kids on. Find a good quality school and let the kids
absolutely.
Learn. You know, they don't have to get on bulls in a hurry. You know, the biggest thing to do is to learn to ride right. Some big steers, just
yep.
some good-sized steers or something good to learn on to teach them how to make their moves and to get where they need to be.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, I've actually got some really good comments that are coming in right now. You know, what they're saying is the passion for the sport is what drives the desire. It doesn't matter whether it's a male or female, you know, that's only a distraction. But, you know, I do agree. You know, we look at things, and that's where the public especially has really seen this and taken this to heart, because you and I have both seen throughout the course of this past year young bull riders that were, you know, killed out there doing what they love to do, but it hasn't made the news. It hasn't made that publicity because it wasn't a female, you know? So now we're seeing this as being brought out in the open as to, you know, why is a young 16-year-old girl out doing that? And, you know, I knew this girl personally. Like I said, I did meet her father, you know, and all he could do was support what his daughter wanted her, you know, to do. You and I know that, especially when you get in those teenage years, you raising some daughters yourself, that, you know, the harder you try to come down and deter somebody from trying to do something, the more they're probably going to rebel, you know?
Oh, that's true.
And so rather than trying to deter her from riding bulls, I think her parents were supportive, although very leery about the, you know, about the situation. I mean, shoot, I know my mom was worried about me, and that's why I never got to ride bulls until I was in my 20s, you know?
Right.
But the fact was that passion never goes away, you know? So at some point you're going to do it. But I do agree with you that it needs to be done right. And there are right ways to go about doing it. And getting yourself into a good quality school, getting on the appropriate type of animal that you need to get on for your development, you know, is imperative to what's going to help make you in this career and prevent you from getting those injuries.
It's just such a dangerous event. And you know, it's not controlled. There's no, the whistle doesn't save you. The whistle doesn't end the game.
That's
you know,
it.
there's no timeouts part of the way through because something gets bad, you know. And
yeah.
it's so vicious that, you know, even in the sport of boxing, which is the closest thing that I can bring to our sport, because I used to box too. But even in the sport of boxing, at least the referee can see a guy's getting it knocked out of him and really fixing to get hurt, that ref can slide in there and say, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right.
And even
this
with the
done.
Best bullfighters in the world, when you're still on that animal's back there, it's even out of our control.
Yeah.
You're
absolutely right, Rob.
There is no control.
Yep. Yep, that is for sure. Well, listen, man, I appreciate getting your input on this, and I think that it helps a lot of the fans out here, you know, in understanding some of the things that happen out here. But we're going to continue to keep, you know, her family in our prayers, and I'm actually heading up to Tampa, I believe, tomorrow night, and going to go visit with the family a little bit. But, man, Rob, I certainly appreciate what you've done out there. And, you know, just, you know, your wisdom and your knowledge within the sport is something that we all need to embrace. Yourself, Cody Custer, guys who have been around this sport for so long, you know, and you know, Cody works so passionately with the youth and developing them appropriately so they can prevent these type of accidents from occurring. You know, nothing's 100% when you're dealing with an animal like that. But the fact is we can't just take that away from any one of us either. You know, that passion is always going to be there.
Well, and that's what it's all about. I mean, it takes passion to be a great player. There's no doubt about that.
Yep. You're right. Well, so what else is going on in the world of Rob Smets? I mean, have you, you know, I know that you went out and actually visited a children's hospital this past weekend, right?
Well, it was a children's school up in Ponca City. I went up there and I gave my testimony and spoke, and there was 40 kids and then some parents and grandparents, and I shared the Lord there, and we had 4 people saved up there that day. I'm flying this week, and I had a good friend of mine's mother that was like the den mother of our high school district when I was in high school rodeo, which is so far back that we both can't even remember that, Scott Messick. I'm going to beat you to your own punch. I'm going to beat you to your own punch there.
you know where I was going.
Deb Graves was just such a great lady, and her funeral, she passed away this past weekend. I'm flying to California Friday, her funeral Saturday morning, and then I get on an airplane Saturday at 2 o'clock, get back to Dallas, and I'll be at the Living Waters Church in Cross Plains, Texas, Sunday morning, giving my testimony and sharing some gospel with them there.
Right on. Hitting the cowboy churches here recently, and we sure love hearing about that, man. So what else do you have in store here? I mean, I know that you are really looking forward to. How are the slots filling up? Have you gotten any inquiries about this bullfighting school? Are they filling up pretty quick?
You know, I've gotten a few phone calls. I haven't got any deposits yet, but I mean, that school in Kentucky is still a little ways off, so we're almost 2 months away. I look for it to fill up. We'll be busy in the month of March. I've got events every weekend there, so the next event that I'll be working on will be Sulphur Springs, Texas, for their rodeo there, and then I go down to Mercedes, Texas, for their rodeo, and just a lot of travel. And actually, and I'm also going to go help with a miniature bulls for 14 and under. They're going to have a bull ride in Lubbock, Texas, and I'm going to go announce a miniature bull event in Lubbock, Texas, the 12th of March.
Well, you know what? Those bulls are about your size anyways out there, though, Rob.
They're
You're
just
kind of
about
a short
my size.
Bird.
Who knows? I might even be able to jump one of those without breaking my dang neck.
you're right. That might give you a fair shot. What do you think about those miniature
bulls? I might actually be able to get over one.
What do you? Well, at your age, you might need a boost still yet.
Oh, yeah. I get around you, you might need a boost too.
I hear ya. Well, let me ask you something. What's your opinion? What is your take on those miniature bulls? What do you think about them?
You know, the thing about it is, for 14 and under, they may, you know, there's some good little bulls in there, but then there's also some pretty juicy little bulls that are quite powerful for something that, for some boys that are 14 and under.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll be able to give you, I've seen a few, and I've seen just some pretty nice little bulls for them boys to get on, and, you know, I mean, they're built just like the big boys. Those little bulls are put together. And I'm really looking forward to going to this event in Lubbock. It should be good. They put on an event just the other day up in Iowa, and I guess they had 40-some bull riders. So I'll be interested to see on how the boys do. And it ought to be good watching.
Yeah, well, you'll have call us back and let us know afterwards. We'd love to hear about it. You know, I'd love to hear the only glimpse that I've really gotten to see any of the miniature bulls or what they bring to the some of the PBR series when they buck out there, you know. But I'd absolutely love to see more of that, you know. And I know that there's actually some of the stock contractors that are here on our show and some of the fans that we have been interested about looking into those miniature bulls. And
right.
I was just curious, you know, what your take was on these things. You know, I mean, is it something that, you know, you feel would benefit the development of these young, you know, bull riders?
I think before a lot of those guys go to getting on, they still need to go get on some steers and stuff that's not going to throw so much power at them, because still those bulls are only 40 inches tall, but there's some of them going to weigh 800-900, and I mean, they're put together like a brick outhouse, some of them. They're throwing a lot of power. They've already got all that spin and kick that I think them boys need to be on something a little bit smaller to learn their fundamentals of how to make their moves and how to sit up on their rope and to get all of that down before they go to that level of animal, probably.
Yeah, certainly.
But then I also would say that that's going to be a stepping stone in what takes you up to the next size of bull, probably.
Okay. So that's a good point right there. That, I mean, it is part of the development, you know. And do you think that they should mandate and make it like a do you think that they should regulate tighter? You know, I know that they have, like, age groups here, but a lot of guys that come in, you know, like, for instance, I mean, my son did do some mutton busting when he was younger, has kind of worked his way up, but he didn't ride
Scott,
for a number of years.
Scott, I'm going to have to call you back. I've got to take a call, and I'll be back.
Sure thing, Rob.
All right. Bye.
All right, guys, there's Rob Smets on the road, having to jump out here with us, take a quick call, but hopefully we'll get him back here with us. Now, I know that some of you fans are really, you know, edgy on that, and don't take it personal what Rob is saying. That's just his opinion, you know. Rob has been around this sport for a long time and feels like this is not a sport for women. You know, this is not a sport for the ladies. Because of the amount of pain that we as cowboys go through, you know, on a daily basis. You know, there's a difference between being hurt and being injured. And that was something that was explained to me very early in my career in bull riding. And it's a matter of how much you love the game as to how much you're willing to withstand. It's a business decision that you have to make. You know, I rode hurt all the time. You know, I was in my 20s, so I didn't heal quite as fast. I was sore a lot. I had bruises built up all over, torn muscles. I had broken hands, you know, and I still chose to ride bulls at that point. But then there was a time when I had to make those business decisions with a fractured eye socket, with the concussions that I had, a broken jaw. I actually rode with a broken jaw. I will not lie to you there. You know, that type of thing. But those are business decisions. But those are Rob's opinions on this, you know, as far as what he feels is, you know, appropriate for somebody like a female to be out there riding. I think that if you have the caliber and you have that desire, that nobody's going to be able to turn you away from it. Nobody should turn you away from it. You know, this is a game that is, you know, it's a dangerous, dangerous game that we play. But if you have that passion, I encourage that. You know, my son is 12 years old. Am I going to stop him from riding bulls? Absolutely not. I can't. You know, if it's something that he wants to do personally, I would prefer him not do it, because I understand the pain of what he went through. You know, I mean, you know, I got back home from Raleigh, North Carolina, and he rode at a youth deal, and he got stepped on right there in his groin area, you know, and he had a big old welt right above his, you know, right below his belly. And, you know, it was all knotted up, and he's like, "Dad, this is really sore." And I said, "I know, but it's going to hurt, you know. That's what bull riding is." And, you know, it hasn't taken him away from that passion. But I understand that pain that he's going through, and, you know, I would much prefer him do something else. But I can't deter him away from something like this, because it's just going to cause him to rebel. Now, if he rebels and he doesn't have that encouragement of his dad helping him, he's going to go try to get on any bull he can whenever he can and ride, whether he's got the safety equipment, whether he's got, you know, the training or the knowledge to get on this type of bull. Makes it very difficult. So rather than trying to disappoint, you know, or trying to discourage that and keep preventing him from doing that, you know, sometimes we just have to embrace it. But we do have to understand the fact that this is a very dangerous sport that we're playing. But it's like any other type of sport, you know, of this caliber. There's not a whole lot that are out there. 662, you're on the Lunch Hour Radio Show.
Hey, Scott, how's it going, man?
Good. What do you say, amigo?
Not too much, man. I was calling in to tell you, you're exactly right with what you're saying about embracing it, because the biggest deal in this sport right here is embracing each other. My personal experience, when I started riding bulls, my dad told me no and told me to stay away from it. He had been around the rodeo long enough to know how bad injuries can get. And so when I moved back home with my mom, I told her I rode one during the summer with my dad to enter me in a junior rodeo, and she did. That was the first one I ever been on, and I was hooked. When my dad found out, he was furious, but he embraced it because he knew that once I got the feel of that adrenaline rush that bull riding provides, and it will push you over the edge and it will drive you to be a bull rider, he knew at that point I needed help. I needed to go to a school and learn the correct ways of riding bulls. And it's very tragic what happened to the young lady. We've been praying for the family, and it's going to happen in the sport. There's no doubt about it, and there's no denying it. All of us know it. It's going to happen. You're exactly right about what you're saying about embracing it, because if you don't have everybody pulling together as one, as a family, as a unit, you'll have them all splitting apart.
Yep. That's, you know, and that's really what it's going to come down to. And, you know, so we absolutely have to continue on doing what we're doing, because we love this game that we're playing. As fans, as athletes, you know, as spectators, as commentators, as bullfighters, you know, it doesn't make a difference. We're in this sport. We're in this game because we love it. You know, we have a passion for what grows there, and we're going to embrace that. Now, we do understand that there's risk, you know, even as fans. You know, we don't know what event we're going to go to where there may be a tragedy similar to this, or there may be an injury like McKinnon Wimberly's, you know, or Jody Newberry's. You know, we understand. We continue to watch these events because we're passionate about what happens there. We respect the athletes that get on these bulls every single time, or the bullfighters that get out there in that arena every single time, you know. But we have to be prepared for the fact that there can be tragedies that occur. We are, you know, deeply saddened by those. But the bottom line is, you know, just like the comment was made earlier that Brooke did, she did something, she was doing something that she loved to do. And if that cost her life, you know, then she's happy, you know. I know that she's probably in heaven sitting down going, wow, you know, that was probably the best 8-second ride I ever had, or 6-second ride, or 4-second ride, whatever the case may be, you know. But the bottom line was this, is that, you know, she was doing something that she loved to do. I know that that was a risk that I was willing to take each and every time I got out there, and that if that my, you know, if that were to happen to me, then I know that I would want my family to continue promoting the sport. I wouldn't want them to be deterred by it. I wouldn't want them to quit going to bull rides, quit going to rodeos. It's what we love, you know.
It's just like any other professional sport or any other amateur sport, Scott, that you take baseball, you can get hit in the head with a baseball. You take any other professional sport out there, you're taking chances at everything you do. So the only way you can live is enjoy the time that you have on this earth and enjoy your friends and family and enjoy what you do. That's the way I look at it. And I think that's the way she looked at it. She enjoyed I didn't know the young lady personally, but from everything that I've heard, I think she enjoyed her sport, and she enjoyed it thoroughly. And I think, you know, that's exactly what you said. She's looking down, saying that, I enjoyed my time there. So, all right, Scott, take care, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate your call, Mike, there, and look forward to talking with you, buddy.
Yes, sir.
That's Mike Anderson there, and you know, he makes a great point there, and he brings it out. But, that's what it comes down to. And I really didn't want to really harp on this, but it turns out we're going to spend, you know, the first part of our show talking about it. I will tell you this. I will tell you that, like I said, that we do have a date set, and we do have some things in order, and we're going to continue to keep driving for this benefit. I will tell you that, that is in motion. We're going to do some things to raise some money for them. You're going to see we're going to be able to do an online video broadcast to raise money for Brooke's family and appreciate everything that you guys have set out there and you guys have done to support what's going on. Please continue to keep her family in your prayers. I'm not sure if we're going to go up to the service tomorrow or if we're going to be there on Thursday, but I do believe we're going to go up and actually sit with the family for a little bit. You know, it's not going to be an easy thing, but we have to show her that there's a family, a rodeo family that does support them. And, we're going to embrace them. You know, we're going to take care of them because they are one of ours. And, so we're going to continue to do that. But, I do appreciate you guys tuning in. We have got to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll jump back more into it. We're going to take your questions or comments. PBR, St. Louis, Missouri, I believe, coming up here this weekend. And how about it? I mean, you know, let's talk about it. We want to hear your comments or your questions. I see the comment coming in right now, Miss Sandy. I do not have an address for cards or flowers, but I will tell you this, that we're going to work on some things for that, okay? So just stay tuned. Don't go anywhere, fans. You listen to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show, and I've got to find us a cool song to get us fired up here on a Tuesday afternoon. Trying to think of what's a good song here. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Well, let's see. Play one that we haven't played for a while here. How about we play a little bit of Sonny Ledford and Buck, Buck, Buck and get you fired up? Don't go anywhere, fans. We'll be right back.
It's Friday night and the lights are bright in the Coliseum downtown. The he's okay. Cause he's got his eye on that $1 million prize, and it's just Saturday. But the bull rollers ain't the county fair. It ain't a soldier, it ain't no act. Mafioso used everything he's got to put the cowboy on his back. Well, this next bull has never been arrested. And if tonight's mafia shootout, he's gonna try me the first.
Goes long live cowboys. So if you want to be like a cowboy, dress like a cowboy, there's only one way to go. Wrangler jeans and shirts, that's the place to be. Be there or be square. From the low cuts to the cowboy cuts, they've got them all. Wrangler jeans and shirts, take it from me, world champion Rob Smets. Being a cowboy runs in your jeans.
This is Kat Johnson of katjohnson.net with Macon 8. Let's buck.
All right, welcome back to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with Macon 8, your official voice of Buckers Now and Rainbow Apparel. And I do see that some of the posts are coming in there. Well, what do you know? It looks like we've got the man, the myth, the legend himself, Rob. Welcome back.
I came back. You didn't think I'd call back, did you? I had to take I had to take a phone call that I've been waiting on for days. And then I still only got to talk to him for a couple of minutes, and they ducked off. It's one of those ones you want to shake somebody.
I hear you. I hear you. Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, it wasn't a matter of us not expecting you back. I just know how you get to talking on the phone sometimes, and, well, it's hard to break you away, you know?
I'm a little long-winded like you sometimes, huh, Scott?
Yeah, and I will never deny the fact that I am long-winded. I know that. But I guess it's one of my talents that I have, I guess you could say,
right? The two most long-winded guys I know, Scott Messick, Jim McClain.
Really? Wait, you're going to put me in there with Jim McClain? Wow. Holy cow, Rob Smith. I can't believe it, man. I can't believe it. Now you're going to go on and hurt my feelings.
Oh.
Hey.
That'll just make you think that you got to come up for air a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so, huh? Well, I thought you were going to say Brett Weldon, you know, being that you're out there with him so much.
Oh, I'm not going to trash my buddy Brett. That's a good man.
Yeah, I hear you. He is a good man. I haven't talked to him in a while, but absolutely love him. He's a great guy. You know what, Rob? I've actually got some fans that are overseas right now. We've got a whole new class of fans that have joined on here with Making Eight, a bunch of European bull riders as well as some European fans out there, and they're asking you to send them a big old shout out. What do you think about Europe over there in Germany and France and places like that actually starting to get into some bull breeding and starting to host some rodeos?
Well, you know, I would love to make a trip to Europe. As a child, I lived in Australia and Singapore and Thailand, and I was all on the Asian side of the world, and I've never got to be in Europe, and I'd love the opportunity. And I think that the great fans that we have, and the more that we make, you know, it's all good. And if they like it over there in Europe, well, that's all the better.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, Rob. Now, that's one place that I have not been as well. I think we should load up a plane and we'll load up some announcing equipment. We'll go over there and do some video broadcasting and for the fans back here in the U.S., and maybe we'll get you behind the microphone out there.
I'll make the trip with you. I'd be more than happy to.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get going. I know their season is about ready to get started here. It's just about a month away, and the guys are hungry. You know, some of our fans that have been in here, they're eager to get out there and get on bulls. And, you know, so they've been tuning in to Making Eight to find out what they can find out about what's going on over here in the U.S. as well. Absolutely love you guys. I mean, of course, you're the legend in the sport, man. These guys know you from, you know, all the way over there. So you're kind of a popular guy there.
Well, I was just blessed to play the game a long time. That's, you know, they just got stuck having to watch me a little bit.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you know, it's kind of hard to keep your mug out of any videos or anything else that you see when it comes around the sport. It just seems like Rob Smets, the kamikaze, is always there.
Well, speaking of kamikaze, I take good pride in the job that I did, but did you get to watch any of the Ironman contests the other day from Fort Worth or Dallas?
I did catch some glimpse of that, yes.
Well, I tell you what, Jesse Byrne took a shot, stepped over the top of Cowboy and took a hit the other night, and he did a heck of a job.
You are right about that. Man, what a shot that was that he stepped in and took. And I'll tell you what, that is
the definition. It was Ryan McConnell, wasn't it?
Yes, sir, it was. And that,
it was
that
Ryan
right
McConnell.
There.
Ryan hurt his neck, but Jesse stepped through there, shot the gap where there was no gap, and
nope.
did the job that you're supposed to do and did a great job.
Yeah, that's textbook definition of cowboy protection right there. It doesn't get any better than that, and I think that we've seen that once or twice in your book as well. But that's where they learn it from. They learn it from the guys that are willing to step in and do that, and you've definitely paved that road.
You know, and there's a few of those young guys out there right now, Jesse Byrne being one, of course, Dusty Tuckness. You know, Frank Newsom, as far as I'm concerned, is – the best bullfighter going with a set of cleats on right now today. That's where the benchmark's at. And of course Shorty does a great job. So the best thing that happens is having Jesse in that circle of guys right there working with him week in and week out. He's only going to get stronger.
Well, you know that's one thing that was brought to my attention early in my career as well, is that, you know, if you want to be successful, you surround yourself with successful people, and that's exactly what Jesse has done, is put him in a situation where he can learn from those guys and feed off of them. And, you know, when it comes down to being successful, you put guys like that in the arena together, and I mean, it's just gonna happen, you know. And it certainly did this week. We saw that for sure.
Well, as you mentioned, you know, Jesse had done a great job to get it, work his way up through the ranks to be in the top three vote getters, to get choices of what jobs you get to go to for the PBR. You know, that young man, barring an injury, will be there for a long time.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Yeah, it was very entertaining to watch. What did you think about the veteran cowboy and Colby Yates pulling off the Iron Man down there? I mean, I thought that was pretty impressive to see a guy like him and just come with it all. And I mean, really, it just seemed like he didn't have a whole lot to lose at this point, and he was going to give it everything he had, and he certainly did that.
Well, Colby rides bulls really well, has had to deal with some serious injuries in his career and battled his way back. looks like he's healthy and rides in good form. And, you know, heck, he just put on a school out there.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, what can you say about the bulls that are up there, you know, especially when it came down to I'm a Gangster and Bushwhacker? I mean, those bulls were really impressive.
Well, like we were talking earlier about our youth, you know, the breeding programs and the athleticism of the bulls right now is at an all-time high. So,
absolutely.
You know, there's just, and the PBR and Cody Lambert's going to bring nothing but the juice. He's not going to give those guys a day off.
No, that's for sure. Now, I'm curious to see, what do you know about this last Cowboy Standing coming up in April out there in Las Vegas? What's your take on that?
Well, I don't know a lot about it. I can say that it's going to end up being similar to what we just had to watch in Dallas. And
Rob, you with us? Hello? Well, Rodeo fans, I think we have lost Rob Smets. He must have hit that no man's zone. And we have lost him. So we'll see if we can't get him back on here within our last 15 minutes. But absolutely, that's the next event that I am absolutely looking forward to. I think Last Cowboy Standing is just going to be something that is just going to be bar none huge. You know, I really think that it's going to say a lot about the Cowboys and the caliber of Cowboys that they're going to have there to be able to get on that type of bulls for that many rounds. And it's really going to depend on how many guys can stay on each round. But you're going to see, I think, closer as the field narrows and as some of the athletes, some of the bull riders are eliminated, I think that you're going to see that competition heighten up. I think you're going to see these bull riders really get out there and get a lot more aggressive during that time. So, you know, yeah, we'll have to see if we can get old Rob Smets back here with us. But, you know, it most definitely, you know, it's going to be a heated competition. And you know, when you're talking about bulls like, you know, Bushwhacker, and you're talking about bulls like I'm a Gangster, you're talking about these Cowboys really have to have their A game every time they go to get on them, you know. But you look at the type of injuries that occur out there, and, you know, that's one thing I really want to bring up, and I hate to keep falling back to the tragedy that we had here in Tampa, Florida this past weekend, but, you know, you take a look at McKinnon Wimberly's injury. Now, that's a kid that's been on that bull. That bull has been bucked, you know, several times. It wasn't something that was intentional. It was just a bad timing, and he did not match up well with that bull at that particular moment, you know. And it was a freak thing that happened. It does not happen all the time. So, you know, it absolutely by far is going to be – it's going to be something that we're going to have to continue to watch. But when we're talking about the youth of America, when we're talking about the future of the sport, I think that Rob hit the nail on the head that it is imperative that whether it be a male or female, that if you're going to do this for a career, that you have to, number one, be willing to accept the risks of the game. But number two, be willing to do it right. Don't just go out here to any other bull ride and have your buddy help give you a rope and go get on and try to coach you. You need to learn the fundamentals, and you need to put yourself in an environment that's going to be safe enough for you to learn those. That doesn't mean you're not going to accept those injuries still out there. It just means that you're going to put yourself in the most safest environment that you possibly can to be able to learn the proper ways to go about doing things, the techniques, and that is imperative in the sport. So, I'm trying to read some of the comments here and catch back up as to what's going on. Well, looks like we've got another caller on the line. Let's see if we can't bring him in. 352, you're on the Lunch Hour Radio Show.
Scott, you can't do the show by yourself. You got too much stuff going on.
I'm telling you, I do, man. I need a traveling partner. I need a compadre down here with me. What's going on there, amigo?
Not much. Just been listening in for like the past hour. Bored.
Bored? Are you trying to say I'm boring?
No, I'm bored, so I had to call the show to have something to do.
Oh, 10-4, man. I hear you. Well, I don't understand why you didn't come down here and hang out a little bit. Well, actually, I do understand why you didn't hang out down here, you know, more than just the weekend. But that's because the law would be out there chasing you, pounding on your door if not, if you weren't there.
We ain't going to bring
I know, right? Moving right along. Obviously, you got a chance. obviously, you got a chance to hear a little bit about what Rob was saying. And, you know, I mean, tell me from a Bull Rider standpoint, man, you agree, you disagree, what do you think?
I agree in a lot of ways, you know. I also agree that it's not a sport for why would any female want to step into the sport? But then again, it goes right back to what you're saying, is once you get that fire lit, I started riding bulls at a young age myself. I started riding bulls at 12, and I knew the consequences from the get-go of what being a bull rider was. So it's something that I agree with Rob on, is your body takes a beating. I mean, you get sored up, and like you said, it's a business decision. Okay, am I able to get on with this injury and still do good, or do I need to sit out this weekend? I mean, you take your bumps and bruises. Just like look at the bull riders that haven't been taken from us, that have been injured, like Doug Walker. He was on the way to the top, and then a tragic accident puts a standstill to everything.
Right.
Jerome Davis, another one. Cool. Another legendary bull rider.
Yep, I agree.
It's a freak accident. It don't matter if you're at a practice pin or you're at the PBR World Finals in short round. Every time you nod your head, the possibility is there.
Yep. And it's how we play the game each and every time, you know.
Yep.
That is so important as to whether or not we can get up and walk out of that arena. You're absolutely right, man. I agree with you, Jay. Great point there, man. Yeah, we've actually got some fans in our chat room here today that are saying that they were going to kick your butt if you said that we were boring here on the Making 8 Lunch Hour show.
We're not boring at making8.com.
What's that?
I said we're not boring. I was bored, so I was like, I'll call a talk show. I've been listening for a while. You probably see me on there.
I got you, man. I got you. And I hear you. Well, let's see, man. I know that you and I are going to be talking here right after we get off this show. We got to get some things lined up, and we're going to start this ball rolling, buddy. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to catch up with you here, man. We only got about 5 minutes left in the show, so I'm going to let you go. I don't think we're going to get Rob back. I think he's in that no man's land out there in Texas.
Don't tell Rob Smith where he's at.
I know, right? I'm telling you, he makes his way around, that's for sure. But he's been up and down them highways a lot. So, but, hey, listen, Jay, I appreciate you calling, man. And I'll talk with you here in about 10, 15 minutes, bro.
Sounds good.
All right, bud, we'll see you. All right, guys. Of course, that was Jay Welker, who, of course, you guys are knowing pretty well this week. He's been on our show every day, starting Sunday night with our Back on the Ranch show. Got to let you guys know that we are going to change the times to the Back on the Ranch show to 7:00 Eastern Standard Time for you fans at home. And I do apologize for trying to put that out there. You know, we went back to the 8:00 this time. It didn't work out well. So until further notice, our shows will be at 7:00 Eastern Standard Time on Sunday nights, our Back on the Ranch show. So you guys can stay tuned to that and look forward to that on Sunday nights. So it doesn't conflict with PBR. It doesn't conflict with the other things that are going on, the American race. Everybody's wanting to hear, you know, how Cord and Jed are doing. You know, so absolutely. You know, I apologize to you fans that we're having to multicast that way. We should have been more considerate to you, the fans. But I do see that it's actually midnight overseas, and we appreciate Cowgirl Marianne for jumping on board here with us, as well as our bull riding fans and the European bull riders. And, you know, we've got a lot of them here on board with us today, and appreciate you guys tuning in as well. Want to let y'all know that, you know, like I said, myself, Rob Smets, hey, we'll pack a bag and head over there. We'll head across the pond and hit out some of your bull rides and your rodeos. Absolutely love to do it. Talk about some fun. That would be a blast. So anyways, I believe that's going to wrap up our show here for the day, fans. I want to let you all know that we do appreciate Rob for jumping on board here with us, and sorry we weren't able to get him back on. But, hey, that's the nature of the business when you're traveling down that rodeo road. Trying to find our exit music here, but I will tell you that we'll be back here tomorrow for another Lunch Hour Rodeo show. And I will tell you that I'm not quite sure how things are going to go the remainder of the week. As we find out, we're going to let you all know what's going to be going on. We do know that we're going to try to get up and visit the family a little bit of Brooke Coates and, you know, just show our support for them and let them know that you, the Making Eight fans, that you, the rodeo and bull riding fans, are behind them as well and going to continue to keep them in your prayers. We absolutely appreciate that. And look forward to seeing y'all again here tomorrow at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. Until then, y'all get a grip with Making Eight and Buckers Now.
Thanks for tuning in with Making Eight. Happy trails, be blessed, and get a grip.
Welcome and listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Rodeo announcer Roger Mooney. When you get ready to get a grip and get explosive, get all of your bull riding info on Making8.com. Tune it in, rip off the knob, and let's get hide, hump, hooves, and horns. Making 8 is a winner.